In the text that Adam read from Joel chapter 3, God has gathered the heathen in the valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment. So the Bible says because their wickedness was great. And once they're gathered in that valley, he says this, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decisions. They aren't there to make a decision, but they are there because of the decisions they made before. Again, when God gathers us for judgment, there's no decisions to make at that point in time. But when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I don't believe Christians will be judged for our sins because they're all under the blood. We'll be judged. Have we run the race that we were supposed to run? Have we done the things that God has wanted us to do? But those that stand before the white throne judgment will be judged for their sins. And they won't have a decision to make at that point. They will be there because of the decisions that they've made in the past. This morning, I want to preach a sermon entitled The Valley of Decision. And just point out to you that every decision that we make is important. Yeah, I know there's a lot of small decisions that we make in our life, but like I mentioned in Sunday school, the small decisions impact the big decisions. And the big decisions that we make impact how our life turns out. I want you to just think for a minute, just to start out this morning, about the decisions that you've already made today. Now, I haven't been with you all from when you first got up this morning, but I can tell there's certain decisions that you've made today. First of all, you decided to come to church today. There were several people, probably lots of people, because the weather is nice or because they had something they thought more important to do, decided not to come to church today. But you decided to come. I'm so glad that you did. And I'm going to talk about in a minute about somebody that made a decision to skip out on something that he should have done and the price that was paid for that. Now, we had the offering a moment ago. I don't know, and by the way, I'll just tell you again, I don't know who gives what. Larry's the only one that knows. That way I can preach with complete freedom about the giving. Some of you a moment ago decided that you were going to tithe. Some of you a moment ago decided that you were going to just sort of tip God. Here's a buck, here's a couple bucks. You made that decision. Again, a decision like that has repercussions. Some of you in this service this morning are going to make a decision for God. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. You're going to make a big decision. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're either going to decide that you're going to receive Him or you're going to decide to reject Him. You say, preacher, I didn't come expecting to do that this morning. And I'm not going to do that this morning. Yes, you are. You're going to decide one way or another. If you make no decision, that's rejecting Him. And again, we'll talk in a minute about somebody that made those decisions and the price that they paid for making the wrong decision. Again, no small decisions. Every decision we make can turn out to be a big decision. And as we talked about in Sunday school, God will help us make our decisions. He will guide us. The closer you stay to Him, the more of His mind that you have, the more the Holy Spirit has control of your life, the more you can depend on Him to make every decision in life. I want to just, this morning, and as my message, I want to share with you some stories of some people that thought they were making little decisions and how it impacted their life. I want to start off with a man that made a decision just to disobey one little command of God. This man did not commit a terrible sin. As we use the word terrible to describe. He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a thief. He did not commit adultery. He did not do any of the big sins as the world classified sins. All he decided to do was one little order from God. He was going to disobey. He thought he had a better idea than God, thought he knew more than God. And before we jump to condemn him, and I'll tell you who he is in just a minute, before we jump to condemn him, I would point out to you that many of us make that same decision every time we pick up this book. Because every time we pick up this book, this is God's Word. And he has in this book instructions for how he wants us to live our life. And I know it's true in my life, and I know it's true in most of the lives of people that are here this morning. God will give us something from this book. He'll lead us, give us something that he wants us to do, or he'll want us to think a certain way, or want us to have a certain attitude about something. And we'll take the same position and make the same decision that this man that I'm talking about made. We'll say, well, I think I know a little bit more about God. I think I know a little bit more than he does in this particular situation. And yes, I understand what he says I should do. And yes, I understand what he wants me to do. But I'm going to decide, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to decide just to disobey God in this one case. I'm not going to do anything terribly bad. I'm not going to go out and kill somebody. I'm not going to leave my wife. I'm not going to do anything, again, that the world considers a big sin. I'm just going to read this book, and if there's something in here that speaks to me and leads me in a certain direction, I'm just going to say, well, not today. I'm not going to do it today. Or if this book tells me, don't do something, I'm going to decide to do it. I don't know about you, and I don't make it a practice to confess my sins, but I've been there. I've been there. I've been where this book has spoken to me, and I knew that God wanted me to do something, or I knew he didn't want me to do something. And some of you might find this hard to believe, but you have a stubborn, most of you won't find this hard to believe, you have a stubborn preacher. And sometimes he'll go his own way instead of listening to God. Just like this man that I'm going to tell you about did. God gave him one command. Don't eat of that fruit tree. You can have all the rest of them. Lots of fruit trees in the garden. You can eat off of every single one of them. But that one tree I want you to leave alone. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Adam. What's the big deal? Well, I mean, it's right there for us to see, and I know God said not to do it, but I think I know more about this situation than God does. What could it hurt if I ate the fruit from this tree? And we that know the story from Genesis chapter 3 know what happened. That man lost his home. He was kicked out of the Garden of Eden. He lost his sons, the first two that he had. I mean, one became a murderer and murdered the other one and then had to leave home. The ground was cursed because he disobeyed this one little command of God. There is pain in childbearing even today because he decided to obey this one little command of God. And every single person in this room this morning, every single person that's ever lived, was affected by that little decision Adam made back in the Garden of Eden when he says, I know more than God, I'm going to eat the fruit that he told me not to eat. What can it hurt? Well, it's hurt every single one of us because the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And every single one of us this morning have a sinful nature that leads us to sin because Adam decided that he was going to disobey one little command of God. Now, I'll just encourage you this morning. If you're not going to obey this book, you'd be better off not to read it. Say, preacher, how can you say that? If you're not going to obey this book, you'd be better off not to read it. Because if you're going to read this book and have the Holy Spirit of God speak to you, and then you're going to go out and willfully disobey it, get ready. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. How much better it would be. Hey, Candy, you can sit over here next to Leonard if you want. But how much better, I got to keep my eye on everybody. How much better it would be if we were just going to say, I believe this is the Bible. I believe that this is the Word of God. And when I open this book and I see something in this book that God tells me to do it or not to do it, it's just like God spoken to me like he did to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to do it. Still hurts a little bit. I'm going to do it.
Why would you, listen, if God came to you, you had a vision, and God came to you and said, look, I got one little thing I want you to do. Or I got something I don't want you to do. You're going to be tempted to do this thing. Don't do it. You would say, man, I heard from God. I'm going to do it. I'm sure not going to do it. I heard from God. He spoke to me. What do you think he's doing through this book? Huh? This book is the Word of God. You open this book, you read it, you get instructed by it, and you obey it. Obey it. Let me tell you about another little decision that somebody thought they were making. This man made a decision where he's going to live. Had a little controversy with his... he and his uncle didn't have the controversy, but the people that worked for him did. Had a little controversy about their crops or their animals couldn't stay on the same piece of ground because there were so many of them. So his uncle called his nephew and said, hey, and the people that were keeping the animals were fighting about it. They were going for the best grass. And his uncle called him over and said, hey, we're brethren, we're related, we shouldn't fight like this. Why don't you just, he said, look around, you choose one way and I'll choose the other. I'll give you the first choice. And so this young man looked over this way, and it was a desert. It was dry. No water, no grass, no trees. And he looked over this way, and the Bible says it was a well-watered plain. Trees and grass. There's a couple cities over in this direction, and they weren't too good cities. But he said, man, look at this place over here. The grass is green, and I can my animals will get big because I'll have plenty to eat, and the ground is rich. There's lots of water, and the crops that I plant will grow tall. I know there's a couple of cities over there, but I can avoid those cities. I just won't get near those cities. And so he said to his uncle Abraham, Uncle Abraham, I'll choose this direction. And Abraham said, okay, Lot, I'll go the opposite direction. So he made a little decision, just a little decision, where to live. I mean, his uncle gave him the choice. He said, if we were, we face similar choices sometimes. Where do I live? Well, hey, this is the rich land over here. I can get a good job. I can make a lot of money. I can provide good things for my family. Over here, boy, it looks kind of barren. Over here, I don't know. We'd have to really work to make it. Over here, I'd be able to have some fun. Yeah, there may be more temptation over in this part of the world, but I can handle that. And that's exactly what Lot thought he could handle too. You go ahead and you read in Genesis chapter 17, chapter 18. You find out that little decision he made about where to live cost him his home because it was burned up with fire. Cost him his family. Some of his daughters and sons-in-laws were killed by that fire. His wife was turned to a pillar of salt. He committed incest with his other two daughters. I mean, he lost everything, the Bible says, but his soul. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7, and God was talking about delivering Lot from Sodom, and the delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now look, I don't want to offend anybody this morning, but I want to shoot straight with you. And again, I'm not preaching at anybody, and I know it's the middle of the summer, but let me just say this. Where you live should not be based on convenience. It should not be based on how much money you can make. It should not be based on whether you can have fun or not. It should be based on where God wants you. Let me say it again. Where you live should not be based on the things that the world thinks is important. It should be based on where God wants you to be. Say, well, preacher, I'm retired. I'm not facing that choice. Yes, you are. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but just listen to me. When you decide to leave and go to a different part of the country, be it for the winter, the summer, the spring, or the fall, don't go because it's warmer. Don't go because you got a cottage up north. Don't go because you've gone the last 15 years and you got friends that are waiting for you. Go because God tells you to go. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to preach you the truth, the Word of God. I look forward to retirement. I don't plan on traveling. I plan on staying right here because that's where I think the Lord wants me to stay. And I don't begrudge anybody that has the opportunity to go different places and live different places. All I'm asking you this morning, and by the way, I was talking to a couple and they said these, they partly inspired what I'm saying this morning because there are a couple that has gone year after year to a certain place and they told me when I visited them this week, said, if God don't want me to go, I won't go. I won't go. If God don't want me to go, I'll stay here where it's cold. And they didn't say this, but I'm putting words in their mouth. I'll stay here where it's cold, where it's icy, where it snows, where you got to put on boots, where you got to shovel snow. I'll stay here if that's where God wants me to stay. And all I'm saying this morning, where you live, you might think, well, it's not such a big decision. We'd make that decision every year. Is that what God wants you to do? Is that where God wants you to be? Sure enough, wasn't where God wanted Lot. Lot should have said, instead of making a decision by what the world said was important, he said, Uncle Abraham, you're smarter than I am. Where do you think I should stay? Where do you think I should go? And we ought to say the same thing to God. God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to spend the winter? Where do you want me to spend the summer? Where do you want me to spend the spring? Where do you want me to spend the fall? I want to be exactly where you want me to be. You will not find happiness anywhere else except in the center of God's will. And just because you may be a little bit older and just because you may be retired doesn't mean that God doesn't have a will for your life. He still has a will for every single person's life. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what your station is in life. He has a will for your life. Find it and stay right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. Let me give you a couple more examples quickly. Let me tell you about a guy who decided one time that he was just going to stay home instead of going to where he was supposed to go. He Bible doesn't say, but maybe he felt bad. Maybe he had a tough week. And it was time for him to go and do something. And he said, well, I think I'll just stay home. They can handle it without me. They don't really need me. I really won't be missed. And I think I'll just stay home. Now again, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to preach you the truth. I want you to think about this guy if you think tonight, well, I think I'll just stay home from church tonight. They won't miss me. I really have something else I need to do that is more important. I think I'll just skip. I'll just skip. That's what this guy said. I think I'll just stay home. Again, they won't miss me. There'll be plenty of people there to do what needs to be done. And they probably won't even know that I'm gone. Well, this man, because he was not where he was supposed to be, saw something that he should not have seen, did something that he should not have done, and ended up paying for it the rest of his life. talking about David. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, it was time for kings to go forth to war, but David abode at home. Joab can handle it. The generals can handle it. I got good soldiers. They can handle it. He stayed home, saw Bathsheba taking a bath, coveted her. And you know the rest of the story. Lost his family. One of his sons raped his half-sister. Her brother killed him. Another brother rose up in revolt against David. He had to leave Jerusalem. All because David made what he thought was a small decision and said, I don't think I'll go. I think I'll just stay home. Do you know that on Sunday nights, God can still work? Huh? Do you know on Sunday nights that in a song or in the Bible reading or in the sermon, something God could use something to change your life and to change my life? On a Sunday night. Really? On a Sunday night. God could save somebody. He could call somebody to service. He could give you something that he wants you to do that would change the rest of your life. And so when you decide, well, hey, I think I won't go. I think I'll stay home. I want you to remember David. The small decisions that we make impact our lives. All right, let me tell you about one more. A big one. Two men in the same place. They watched another man die. They heard what he said. They watched and noticed the attitude in which he said it. They watched as he forgave those who actually killed him. He watched, they watched as he fulfilled Scripture. They watched as he got somebody to take care of his mom. The two thieves that hung on the cross and watched Jesus die, both of them heard the same words. They saw the same actions that Jesus took from the cross. They made different decisions. One of them said, hey, if you're the Christ, if you have all this power that people say you have, why don't you take yourself down from the cross and take us with you? The other one said, don't say things like that to him. We deserve to be here. He doesn't. He doesn't. And then this one thief turned to Jesus and said, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus said some of the most blessed words he ever said. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. We got our sin nature from Adam as it was passed down generation after generation. And that sin nature caused each one of us at some point in our life to commit a sin. And that sin made us a sinner. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is death or separation from God. And the only thing that we can do on our own is to pay what we owe, and that's to be separated from God forever. Forever. But the Bible says when we were yet sinners, God loved us and proved His love toward us by sending Jesus to suffer the penalty for us. So He went to the cross. All of our sins were piled on Him. He suffered our hell for us. He paid the price for our sin. Now we have a decision to make. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to make a decision before you leave this place. And you might think, no, I'm not. I'm not going to make a decision. Yes, you are. You're either going to receive Him, accept Him, trust Him as your Savior, or you're going to walk out of this place rejecting Him and saying no to Him. You can't sit on the fence. You can't straddle the line. You can't say, well, I'm not ready to do it today. I'll take care of it later. What you're saying is no to Jesus Christ. This decision will affect the rest of your life and will affect where you spend eternity. The thief that ridiculed Christ and said, hey, if you are God, take yourself down from the cross and take us with you. He is in hell this morning and has been from that moment that he took his last breath on that cross. He's in hell. But that one thief who said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, went to paradise and this morning is with Jesus. And will be forever and ever and ever and ever. If you're here today and you're saved, you rejoice. You say like Barb did in her song, what a Savior, hallelujah. What a Savior, hallelujah. But if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, would you decide for Him? Would you trust Him as your Savior? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this simple truth that's in